chapter number 6, and we're going to read a few scripture over there, a few verses over there, and so I'll let you find your place. Let's remember we'll have a deacons or a business conference this coming Wednesday night, and on Wednesday nights I'm preaching through the church covenant, so let's remember that. If you've got one, and you do, you can read ahead. You'll know what we're preaching about on Wednesday night. So we got through the first paragraph last Wednesday night, and then second paragraph this Wednesday. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love. So that's what I'm going to be preaching on Wednesday night. So you can read ahead and see what we're going to be preaching about and studying about. And I've already been thinking about that and looking at that. But tonight, we're going back to John chapter number 6. And let's go ahead and read verses 37 down through verse number 44. We've already read this several times before. And this is a passage of scripture we'll try to preach out of again, or at least start in tonight as the Lord leads. John chapter 6, verse 37. The Bible said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Let's pray. Lord, as we come tonight, I want to thank you for letting us be here. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the church that we have and the fellowship we have and the community that we live in and the common heritage that we share together. Lord, we're thankful for all of these things. And I pray and ask that you would speak to our hearts from your word tonight. I pray that you'd make it plain, and I pray that you would accomplish with your word what you would like to accomplish tonight. Lord, I'm thankful for the working of the Spirit of God in our hearts and lives. I'm thankful for the drawing of God in our life, and I pray that you would help us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean what that really means from your word. And I know, Lord, as we grasp these great truths, that it'll help us to be more thankful for what you've done in our lives. I know that it'll help us to be more knowledgeable in sharing our faith with others. And Lord, we pray that there would be a harvest of souls at Mount Lebanon. We pray for souls to be saved. I pray for the Yes Clubs. I pray for the college ministry. I pray for the missionaries out of this church and what is going on. And I pray, Lord, that right here in our midst, those that have never been saved, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts and show them their great need of salvation. Help us, Lord, to see you like Isaiah did, high and lifted up. Lord, you're holy, and all that you've done and ever done and will do in our hearts and lives is right and good. And I thank you for that. And so, Lord, just have your way in the service tonight. Speak to our hearts. And we'll thank you for all that you do. We come and we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, I want us to go back to verse number 44 and just begin tonight by reading that verse. The Bible said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day." And we've just been looking at the first part of that verse, where the Bible said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." And so this is the third time we preached out of this passage of Scripture on the subject of the drawing of God. And I've really not even got to what I want to get to, what I really want to get to in preaching this and in studying this. But have you ever wondered just exactly what does that mean? No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And we've been studying that little word draw and what the word draw means in the Bible. The word draw is found in the Bible 120 times. And that is not counting all the variations of that. You have the word drawn, you have the word draweth, drawers, drawing, drew. There's a lot of variations on the word draw. And so just the word draw, though, is mentioned 120 times in the Bible. And it is used in a large variety of applications. And we've not gone through all of those, but we've gone through some of those words and what they mean in the Bible. And I believe in order to correctly interpret the Bible, we need to learn to labor in the Word. And that's what we're doing. We're taking some time to really look at and understand what it means that no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And so we labor in the Word. And we go in the Bible and find out what this word draw means. And if we can understand what the word draw means from the Bible, we can understand what verse number 44 means. And so we learn to labor in the Word. And we are to labor in the Word. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially though they who labor in the Word and doctrine." And so we learn to labor in the Word. We're to labor in the Word. And I've come across that verse several times this past week. Because everybody that didn't take home a chocolate last Sunday, did you see the little chocolates on the table? Looked like a Bible with a red ribbon in it. Do you know there was chocolate underneath that? And when all you all went home to watch ball games and everything, I stayed and got all the rest that was left over. And that was the verse on them. And so when Kim and Abigail and Chloe, when they went to Pigeon Forge, they left me with that big pile of chocolate. And I got them all and I hid them while they were gone. And I've been eating on them and they think we're out of chocolate at the house, but we're not. But we're to labor in the Word. And what's that mean, to labor in the Word? Sometimes it takes a little bit to go through the Bible. What does this mean? What does this mean? We'll never be led wrong if we'll find out what does it mean. And we compare Scripture with Scripture and line upon line and precept upon precept. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And so what does it mean in the Bible? Now, I know how people are. If I put these on the radio, and I'll probably put these on the radio. And so if you heard a 15-minute segment of this series of messages and you didn't listen from the first all the way to the last, there's certain segments somebody would hear it on the radio and they'd say, "Well, I heard Brother Wynn preaching on the radio. He's a Calvinist." And then somebody else might hear another day. They say, "I heard Brother Wynn preaching on the radio. He's gone off into free will. He's Armenian." But you know, if we'll stick in the Bible, I would like to be known as a Biblist. What does the Bible say? If we'll stick in the Bible, we'll be right. And it'll be good. We get outside of the Bible and we'll get carried off into this ditch. We'll get carried off into that ditch. But you know, I just want to know what the Bible says. I want to know what the Bible means when it says no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And the drawing of God, that's what I've been preaching on. The drawing of God is a wonderful thing. As we look in the Bible, none of us tonight would be able to stand up and say, "I'm saved," if it were not for the Father drawing us. And so what does it mean when it says, "Except the Father which has sent me draw him"? And we've given already some things about what that word draw means. We said, first of all, and I'm doing a little review and I'm trying not to repeat myself very much, but we said, first of all, the word draw was a catching word. And we went to the first time that word is mentioned in the Bible, Genesis 24:11. The Bible said, "And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening,
even the time that women go out to draw water. And that word draw in that verse, it means to bail up water or to catch water. And we preached a message beginning there, Genesis chapter 24. And we said about the drawing there, that there was the right place at the well. You know, that's where the Samaritan woman met Jesus, was at the well. And so that's a good place to meet the Lord Jesus. There's the right place, there's the right time. It was the time of the evening, and there's the right method, and that was to draw, to bail up water, to catch up water. And in Genesis chapter number 24, that is talking about Abraham's servant. Abraham's servant is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. Abraham is a type of the Father. Abraham's servant is a type of the Holy Spirit. And Abraham's son, Isaac, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the servant goes out to find a bride for the son. That is what you find in Genesis chapter number 24 when he comes and he meets Rebecca. And what I find about the type of the Holy Spirit in Genesis chapter number 24 is that that Abraham's servant meets the right person at the right place at the right time. And he extends the right invitation and he receives the right response, and after a little while he presents the right bride to the right bridegroom. And that is a beautiful picture of salvation. Somebody getting saved does not depend upon you or I. It depends upon the Holy Ghost of God doing his work. And the Holy Ghost of God is more interested in people getting saved than you and I ever will be. And he knows how to bring the right person and the right time and the right method and the right invitation and the right response. He knows how to bring all those things together to get the bride for the son. And that's what the Holy Spirit of God is doing in the world today. He's still inviting. He's still drawing. He's still saving sinners. And what is he doing? He is gathering a bride for the son. And I love in Genesis chapter number 24 when the Bible says that Isaac went out at the evening time and he looked out and he saw him coming. You ever read that over there? The Bible said, behold, the camels were coming, and that's when he met Rebekah, his bride. And so that's what the Holy Spirit is doing in the world today. It is a catching word. Number two, we said that it was a courting word. And we use Song of Solomon chapter 1. And verse number 4, and the Bible said over there, the Song of Solomon is a love letter. And it's all about the love of the bride and the bridegroom for each other. In Song of Solomon chapter 1, verse number 4, the Bible said over there, draw me, we will run after thee. Draw me and we will run after thee. And the word over there, it means to sow, to prolong, to develop as in a relationship. And the Lord does not beat us and abuse us into getting saved. The Lord didn't make you get saved. But what has God done in our lives since and even before we got saved? He has done everything under the sun to show his great love for sinners. And God is good to us. God is good to the just and the unjust. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 45. He sends his rain on the R-A-I-N, on the just and on the unjust. God gets a bad rap. You let a hurricane come through. You let lives be lost, homes be destroyed, and many will come along and they'll say, where was God in all of that? Why did God allow? God will get blamed for what went on out in Las Vegas. Why did God allow that to happen? How many people stands up and thinks about it like this? What about all the people that ate last week? Nobody says, praise the Lord for that. What about all the people that had their needs provided? What about all the people that didn't die in a storm? What about all the people that did live during... And God never gets credit for the good things. But God gives us all the good things there are. God provided all the meals and all the people that didn't go hungry and all the people that were not harmed in a storm of some way or another. Here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4. The Bible said over there, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." God's not beating people over the head. God's good to people. And if people ever begin to see the goodness of God, it is the goodness of God that leads thee to repentance. What about all the times that God has had mercy upon us? What about all the times that God has been good to you? What about all the times you traveled down the road and you made it home safely? That's the goodness of God. I thought about that the other night. I was coming home from school. And I do not know over the years how many times on Thursday nights that I have driven over to Roan Mountain and I have driven back home and I've passed no telling how many thousands of cars, and it's been good weather and bad weather and all kinds of weather that I've traveled in, and as far as I know, I've never had low air pressure in my tires going and coming. I mean, God's been good to me all them miles. All them miles. Think about Dad driving out on the road all of them years. Why, he drove over 1,000,000 miles. Probably 2 or 3 times. How many times? 3 times? 3 or 4 times drove 1,000,000 miles. Think about that. And oh, I tell you, I remember when I was a little boy and Dad started driving, it tore our hearts out. We listened to that Alabama song, you remember that? Roll on highway, roll on home. We'd be in the car driving down the road, and Dad, he's out on the road, and we'd hear that, we'd all just bawl. Couldn't wait for Dad to get back home. What if something happened to Dad out there? What if driving on the road and all them miles, and he come home all them times? That's the goodness of God. If we just stop to think about tonight how good God was to us, think about all the times God has supplied exactly what you needed when you need it. That's the goodness of God. Oh, I broke down before, but you know what? There's been times the person I needed came along right when I was broke down. That's the goodness of God. I've been out on the road and my car quit, and there wasn't nobody come along, and I prayed. I said, "Lord, I really need your help. I've had my car start back." That's the goodness of God. God's good. God's met our needs. God has supplied the things that we needed in our lives. God has protected us. God has done all these things. God was good to me before I got saved, and God has really been good to me since I've been saved. The Bible said in 2 Peter 3 and 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Why don't the Lord just come back tonight? Wouldn't that be good? But you know what? If the Lord came back tonight, there'd be a lot of people that have heard the gospel that haven't gotten saved, and it'd be too late for them. What? Why has the Lord not come back yet? The Lord is long-suffering to us. God is so good. God is so loving. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the goodness of God. And God, in His goodness and in His love, is still reaching out and drawing and wooing and wanting people to come and to be saved. It's a courting word. It is a catching word. It is a commanding word. Exodus 15:9, where Pharaoh said, "I will draw my sword." He had every intention just to kill all of the Israelites. That word "draw" there, it means to pour out. It means to empty out. And we preached on this last week, the bad news. We're condemned already. John 3:18. But the good news is over in John chapter 12 and verse number 32. And I read the verse over there, and you can read it again tonight. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And it's a word that has authority. And if Jesus died upon the cross, it would make a way that he could save everyone. Jesus died upon the cross not just to save a few, but because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And therefore it is right, because the Lord Jesus paid such a precious price, that God can command all men everywhere to repent. That's a commanding word. And that's what the Bible is teaching when Paul is preaching over there in Acts chapter number 17. And he's talking about the Athenians over there and in their idolatry. And Paul said in Acts 17:30, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Why can God do that? Because Jesus died for our sins. Jesus shed his blood on Calvary. Jesus died. Jesus took our sins upon him so that we could be saved. God says, repent, repent, repent. You don't have to die and go to hell. You can be saved. You need to repent. And so it is a commanding word. But I want to show you something else tonight, and I really got a blessing out of this. As I studied about it, I want you to go all the way back into the book of Job. And in the book of Job, we're going to read over there several verses tonight. And we say number four about this word draw. The word draw is a compulsory word. And what we mean by that, I'm going to show you what I mean by that. But in Job chapter number 40, some of you young people, I think you'll really like this. We're going to read about in the Bible. We're going to read about a dinosaur. That's what this is. Job chapter number 40. The Bible calls this creature in Job chapter number 40 Behemoth. But it's a dinosaur. You know, dinosaurs are real. They lived upon the earth at the same time as man during Job's day. Job is, I believe, the oldest book in the Bible. And I'm not going to get into all the why and everything about that tonight, but we're going to read out of Job chapter number 40. But the word compulsory means this: having the power or quality of compelling. To bring by compulsion to cause to come. And that's very important in what we're looking at tonight. A compulsory word. Having the power or quality of compelling, to bring by compulsion to cause to come. Now, the word draw, if you look it up in the dictionary, the word draw, it means this. And I pointed this out several times. In John chapter 6 and John chapter number 12, the word draw means literally, it means to drag. But the Holy Ghost of God didn't use the word drag. He used the word draw. And the word draw is just a little bit different than the word drag. And I want to show you the difference tonight, and I believe you'll get a blessing out of it. Draw means this. It means to pull or to move by pressure on the forend. To pull are to move by pressure on the forend. Now let me explain what that means. We say this. We talk about a horse-drawn carriage. Or the horses drew the wagon. We do not say the horse dragged carriage. Or the horses dragged the carriage. Or the horses dragged the wagon along. Although it means the same thing. But they draw it by pressure on the forend. They're in front of the wagon. And they're drawing the carriage along. They're drawing the wagon along. They're on the forend. They're at the front of the wagon. They're not dragging it along. They're drawing it along, and there's just a little bit of difference there. But my, what a difference when we're talking about pulling along on the fore end. What are we talking about? God has gone before. God has prepared before. And the drawing of God is before. And let me show you some things of what I mean by that. But Job chapter number 40, there's a great illustration of what that means to draw versus to drag. Job chapter 40. Now, talks about here, we're going to read beginning in verse number 15. And God is talking to Job. And he's talking to him, behold, now behemoth. It's a dinosaur is what it is. But it's a great beast, a great creature that lived in Job's day. Look what God said. Behold now, behemoth, which I made with thee. Now, the evolutionists, they say, oh, the dinosaurs lived millions and millions of years ago, and then man come along. No, sir. Dinosaurs lived at the same time as man. God said, I made behemoth with thee. There's a place out in Texas, go out there and they have all these dinosaur footprints that they've found. And in several places, even right here in the United States, they found dinosaur footprints. And they'll find a man's footprint right in that dinosaur footprint. Say, how'd that get there? When they was running from the flood, they was running together. That's how that got there. It's been there a long time. Well, if you studied the Bible, you'd know that. God said, let's think a minute about behemoth, who I made with thee. They's made at the same time, or in the same week. He eateth grass as an ox. We know that about dinosaurs. They ate grass. Lo now, his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. His legs and his midsection is what that's talking about. He moveth his tail like a cedar. Do you know, there's a liberal. He interpreted this. He said behemoth was a hippopotamus. Have you ever seen a hippopotamus that moves his tail like a cedar? A hippopotamus's tail is the smallest thing on the whole animal. It's not even as big as a horse's tail. This is a dinosaur. This is a creature that moves his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He's the biggest thing on land that God ever made. He's bigger than an elephant. He's bigger than a woolly mammoth. He's the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees, in the covert of the reed and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. He's laying around in the woods in the shadow of the big trees is what that's talking about. Verse 23 is what I'm wanting to get to. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. And so we have a picture of there, behemoth, this great creature. And he goes down to the River Jordan and he sticks his big snout into it. And he's such a great creature, the Bible said, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. Can you imagine how much a big old creature like that could draw up into their mouth? If they got a drink of water, why, if it went to the pool and got a drink of water, it'd go down a foot just like that. This big creature we're talking about. And he's so confident, this creature, he trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. And so we see here and read about this, what happens when Behemoth goes down and sticks his snout into the water and begins to drink water or draw up water into his mouth. What that is a picture of is there is a power from above, a drawing away, up and away. It means there, it means to draw up. Just like, and I meant to bring one tonight, but I didn't. Just like we get a straw. And Chloe uses straws all the time. Some back kids, they love to drink through a straw. But I could take a straw and put it down in this glass of water and probably draw up half of it. I don't think I could do the whole thing. But what is that? That is a pressure from above. A drawing away, a pulling away of that water there. And that is what the Bible is talking about. And God's drawing in our lives is not God dragging us along, kicking and screaming against our will. And that is the thing that I have not gotten to yet. I've not gotten to and I've not preached on our will. But I'll tell you this, God's will is for people to get saved. And God's will in our lives, the drawing of God is on the fore end. God's already been there. God has already willed it that people get saved. That's the drawing of God. The drawing of God is that God gave His Son so that you and I could be saved. That's what Jesus was talking about. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Before you was ever born, before you was ever thought of, Jesus had already gone to the cross and gave His life so that when you and I came along, you and I could be saved. God didn't have to do anything else for you to get saved. Jesus is already on the fore end. Went ahead. Jesus died in our place. That's the drawing of God. God had already given His word. You know, there's silly people out here and they say, oh, if I could see the Lord, I would believe. If God would speak to me, if God would, let me tell you something. God's already sent a letter. Signed, we might even say, by the blood of covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's already spoke to you from heaven. God's already sent out His word. All you don't need to see God. You don't need an extra voice from heaven. You don't need a special letter. God's already given a special letter. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. What this world needs, they need to hear the word of God on the fore end. God has already went ahead and given His word. God's already spoken from heaven. God's already told you everything that you need to know in order to be saved. Hey, He's already done that. That's the drawing of God on the fore end. God from heaven has already inserted Himself into humanity by and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus done everything that you needed to be saved before you ever got here. That's the drawing of God on the fore end of our lives before we ever got here. Before we were ever born. God gave His Son. God gave His Word. God gave the church, and He gave the church marching orders to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the drawing of God. Do you know all these missionaries going to all these places? That's God on the fore end. We had the missionary this morning. I get a blessing out of this every time I think about it. But I think about what that one little church in Bromswell, Suffolk, England meant to so many people. God called a missionary. A missionary went to a foreign country, started a church. That church was probably started when I was maybe in kindergarten, first, second grade. God knew where I'd end up. Kim grew up right up the road. But you know what? Kim didn't get saved at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, although she came to Vacation Bible School here. Kim got saved halfway around the world in that church. That's the drawing of God. God had already prepared all of those things. God had already put it all in place. God knew she'd get saved over there. She would come back, be the pastor's wife of the church she went to vacation Bible school in. Isn't God good? God had already went ahead. That is the drawing of God. The church, the gospel, the missions, the preachers. How shall they hear except they be sent? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Before I was ever saved, God gave me a saved mama and a saved daddy and a saved grandma and a saved grandpa on both sides. That's the drawing of God. What did God do to get you saved? God's done everything. God's done it. Somebody else might say, well, preacher, I'm not like that. I didn't grow up in church and I didn't grow up with a saved mom and a saved daddy. Yeah, but once they hear the gospel, God brought into their lives all they need in order to be saved. And I'm telling you, it's exciting to me. You think about it, and we probably don't realize what God is really trying to do in our midst. We've had students from Thailand. We've had students from France. We've had students that have been born in other countries that has come to this little country church, and we don't know when somebody comes through the doors that they are not seeking, that they are not getting ready to find the very thing that God wants most in their life. That's them to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God drawing in their lives, using this church like God used another church in my life, in Kim's life. The drawing of God. God gave His Son. God gave His Word. God has given people in our lives that loved us. If you're here tonight and you're saved, it is by and large in response to somebody in your life loved you enough to either take you to church, share with you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody had an influence in your life. That's God on the forefront. That's the drawing of God. All of these things we can look to. There's God's will. And we read about it here in John chapter number 6. Well, what is God's will for our lives? The preacher said this morning, find out God's will for your life. What is God's will? Look, we read it here in John chapter 6, verse number 38. What is God's will? Jesus said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. What's the will of God? It is not a mystery. Verse 39, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What's God's will? God's will is for people to get saved. God's will is for people to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's good gifts working in our lives. Look at James chapter 1. Keep your place there. I love these verses in James chapter number 1. Do you know the atheist, the infidel, the agnostic? And a few years ago, the atheist, they put out a campaign every Christmas about why they don't believe in God. And they had this campaign, good without God. But do you know, God has already got the claim on everything that's good. And anything that's good comes from God. And nobody can put a claim on it. All charity, all giving, all loving, all being good to your neighbor. Everything good, God's already, He's got the patent on that. And the Bible said in James chapter 1 verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Look at this. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. That's the Bible. That we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. We are a result of the good gifts of God. And I was preaching on that at the beginning. that it's the goodness of God that leads thee to repentance. And it's the good things that God has brought into our lives that we might see His hand in our lives, God's will, God's good gifts, God's Holy Spirit. All of these things are the drawing of God on the fore end. Look at John chapter number 3 and verse number 5. What the Bible says over there, if you go back to John 6 and then you go back to John 3, think about the Holy Spirit of God. No man is saved. No man comes to the Lord Jesus Christ except the Father draws him. How does God draw us? God by His Holy Spirit draws us. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse number 3, the great passage of Scripture about being born again, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water," and that's the Word of God, by the way, "and of the Spirit," that's a capital S, "he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." That being born of the Spirit, that is a drawing from above. That is what God has done in every person's life that's here tonight that can stand up and say, "Yes, preacher, I know that I'm saved. I know that I've been born again." The only reason you can testify that is God's Spirit from above came down into your heart below and drew you up. You're not saved of your own flesh, but we are born again of the Spirit of God. Flesh can't do anything for any of us. We are lost. We are sinners. We are undone. It doesn't matter how good you are, how righteous you are, how much you try, what a nice person you are. None of that stuff matters anything in the sight of God. God's Spirit has to finger around your heart and draw you from above, or you'll never be saved. You cannot be saved apart from the Holy Spirit of God working in your heart. That's the only way. That's what Jesus is talking about in John chapter number 3. And so God's drawing is all on the fore end. It's already in place. God's a big God. As we study about all of this and think about the drawing of God, it ought to excite us and encourage us to know this, that God is not neutral in the subject of our salvation. What I mean by that, God is not neutral. God is not indifferent towards you being saved. God is not up in heaven saying, "Well, there it is. Take it or leave it." God's drawing, as we see it in the Bible, ought to prove to us that God is doing everything heavenly possible to draw us into a relationship with His dear Son. God's will, everything God's already put into place, it's to bring us to that place of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's done so much. He's done so much. If we ever could get a hold of what God has done in order that we might be saved, we'd have revival. Do you know the first great awakening, the messages that they preached, more than anything else, what they did, they glorified God in His sovereignty. And they preached to the people and they taught the people, "Hey, if it wasn't for God," Jonathan Edwards in his great message, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God," he said, "You're like a spider being held out over the fire. And it is only the goodness and mercy of God that you don't fall into hell forever and ever. It's the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that's kept you out of hell and kept me out of hell before I got saved. It's the goodness of God that brought me to a place in it." You didn't come to being saved by accident. God, in His bigness and goodness, every good thing in your life, that's God. That you ever heard the gospel, that you ever responded to the gospel, that's God. Every circumstance in your life, God had a part in it. Even the bad, God has used it for good to bring you to see how much you need the Lord. The drawing of God is a compulsory word. God is trying to draw us along to a place where we put our faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has gone to great lengths to draw us to that place to just get saved. Now there's drawing of God after you get saved, but the drawing of God before you get saved ought to make you shout. But we don't shout much. We've heard it so much we're hard. And the world has heard it so little, they're horrified. You know, all they want is good. You know, God is, you know. But I'll tell you, I thought about the several examples we could give tonight of God's drawing in somebody's life. I believe that while Saul stood by and held the coats of men that stoned Stephen to death, God began to speak and prick his heart. As he saw Stephen there give his life and that great testimony, and Stephen didn't run and try to get away, Stephen said the same thing Jesus said on the cross, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." You don't think that's God used that to draw Saul? When the Lord Jesus appeared to Saul and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Saul was under conviction about what he had already done. That was the drawing of God in his life. God used Stephen dying to convict him. I thought about that Ethiopian eunuch out there in the desert. What chance has he got of getting saved? No chance. No chance whatsoever. He's interested. He's got a copy, evidently, of Isaiah chapter number 53. But as he reads over that great passage of Scripture about the Messiah, he doesn't understand it. But here comes somebody through the desert, comes up beside his chariot, said, "Do you understand what you're reading? How can I accept some man guide me?" God put Philip down in the desert to draw that man to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said Philip went up into that chariot and preached Jesus unto him. And he said, "Believest thou what thou readest?" Oh, he believed then. And that Ethiopian eunuch, he said, "Can I be baptized?" He said, "Here's water." And he baptized him and he went on his way rejoicing. That was God on the fore end. You remember years ago, Preacher Carl preached a message, "God works on both ends." That's the drawing of God. And I come to a close tonight, and I want to ask you to think just a little bit. Think about the drawing power in your life. I know, as I think about my life, that I can look back at times where there was the drawing of God, where God drew me, where it wasn't my mind or my imagination or but times when God drew me. When I got saved, God drew me. And I came to the altar, yes, but I've said many times before, I believe I got saved back there. God was dealing with my heart. And I came forward, and I'm glad that I did. But when I went forward, I was the only one in the church. I remember they had a revival or something, and several of the young people, they all went up together. That makes me nervous. That makes me nervous because a lot of them people got saved later on. You know, in times of pressure, some people will move because somebody else did. But I was the only one. That was God drawing me. And God's drawn me several times since then. He don't stop. And I'm thankful for that. But I want to ask you tonight as we close, have you ever been drawn by God? We tell young people all the time, when God deals with your heart, you'll know it. Do you believe that? Well, the only reason you believe that is because you've experienced that. You can get a child to make a profession of faith when they're 3 years old. That's very easy to do that. But I'll tell you, what you need to be looking for is the drawing of God in your life, where He brought you into a personal relationship with Himself. Have you ever experienced that in your life? Boy, praise the Lord. Do you know how many religious people are out here that's all they've got? But they got no drawing. They got no personal relationship. God is big enough to reveal himself into our lives. Aren't you glad for that? Has he ever done that in your life? John chapter 6, verse number 44. What's the Bible mean over there? No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Preacher, what does that mean? It means what it says. God's done everything. You don't need to be looking for anything else. You don't need to be looking for the sun to turn back 10 degrees. You don't need to be looking for some voice out of somewhere. He's already gone on the forend. And that heavenly pressure, just like that beast drawing up that water into his mouth, that's the Holy Ghost of God. Drawing, drawing, drawing. Praise the Lord for that. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.